Good morning, a Friday morning. We're with our political observer, Alan Chartok. Alan, I'm seeing here that Hillary Clinton received a standing ovation last night. She was at the Broadway show Sunset Boulevard in New York, sat in the audience with the members of the Secret Service, but many tweets and posts on social media of people who were overjoyed to see the former First Lady, Senator, Secretary of State, and of course, presidential candidate.
Well, of course, David, there is the whole thing about it being a blue state and a blue city, but there is also certainly some voters' remorse. I have to say that the numbers for Donald Trump keep going down and down, and I think that Trump is out of control. His hour-and-a-half press conference indicates that the concept of Alec Baldwin on Saturday Night Live, that portrayal, and the real Trump are coming closer and closer together. So it's very hard to, at this stage of the game, distinguish between the two. I mean, the guy is going back and forth between reality and non-reality, and it is a very, very scary thing for the United States to be watching this degeneration, and people don't know what to make of it. There is a sense on the part of many people who called me during the press conference afterwards and said, you know, can you believe this? There is, in some ways, a sense of enjoyment, which is very dangerous among many of the people who oppose Trump, because they find the whole thing scarily amusing. At least one New York Times columnist has said that the big danger here is that people will be enjoying this to the point where they won't want to see it go away. Well, go away it's not going to do unless, and as I've said all along, something extraordinary happens. Because when you see Trump saying the kinds of things that he's saying, for example, about his fired General Flynn, on the one hand, he lied to the vice president of the United States, so I had to ask him to leave. On the other hand, he's a good man. You wonder what the motivation is. He's a good man, and he's been maligned, says the president of Flynn. And you say, what's the motivation for this? How much does Flynn know? When did he know it? When did he tell the president? When did anybody tell the president about these contacts with the Russians? So the whole thing is sort of blowing up now. And once these things begin to blow up, they all have tangents, and each tangent becomes important. And now the Republicans have so much pressure being placed on them. After all, they do have the Congress. But the official line now is that this is the Democrats' fault, that they can't fill cabinet positions because of the Democrats when they're in control of the presidency, of the House of Representatives, of the Senate. Defies the imagination in the fact that they're yelling that the Democrats are doing this. Extraordinary. You mean to say when a Secretary of Labor doesn't fill out his forms, that's the Democrats' fault so that he can be properly vetted? Or that people begin to say, I don't want to serve this president, even though I'm being asked to. An admiral turns around and says, I'm not going to do this, even though I was asked to do it, because it's so clear that it won't work. Well, anyway, David, it is chaos, no matter what the president says about it.
Staying with that and from the media angle, a great discussion with you and Rex Smith and Ira Fussfeld this weekend on the Media Project, Sunday night at 6, Monday afternoon at 3, where you get into this subject. And, of course, during the press conference, he went right after the media. And as the editorial in The Times says today, attacking reporters is more fun than defending the White House mess, and his base loves it.
Well, I think that is exactly the point. It is the base. Now, when the numbers start going down, that means that some of the people in the base aren't happy. It means there is being some desertion. However, when people wonder why the President of the United States does a Holocaust testimonial and does not mention the word Jews, and he comes back and defends himself and says, my son-in-law and my daughter and my grandchildren are Jewish, under tremendous attack, he has to somehow keep the base in mind, because it's the base that voted for him and kept him in office. And that's where I think you're going to find some anti-Semitism.
How about the comments about nuclear holocaust? He said, if Russia and the U.S. actually got together and got along, and don't forget, we're a very powerful nuclear country, and so are they, there's no upside, he said. Nuclear holocaust would be like no other, he added after a pause. If we have a good relationship with Russia, believe me, that's a good thing.
Nuclear holocaust would be like no other. No other what? In fact, we haven't seen a nuclear holocaust yet. We have only seen what the Americans did to the Japanese. And if you're saying peace with the Russians at any cost, not keeping the kinds of estrangement, perhaps, but warning, it's almost as if he's going to encourage the Russians to misbehave.